Let's turn to Mark chapter 16, final chapter of this divinely inspired book. Who is Yeshua? He is the most important man who ever lived, who brought the world the most important message, a message that must be believed. For human beings who are alienated from God and headed to hell, not heaven, headed to death, not life, to be reconciled to their Creator and then live forever. Everything Messiah did, everything he said, every interaction with others that has been recorded for us in this divinely inspired book is extremely relevant, extremely important. We want to understand as much as we possibly can about this most important man and his most important message. We want to line up our thoughts and lives with this most important man and his most important message. And we want to tell as many people as we possibly can about this most important man and his most important message. We're at the end of Messiah's most amazing life and most amazing ministry. And also, we're at the beginning of another amazing beginning. After living a perfect life, resisting every temptation, doing amazing miracles, giving us the greatest teaching, after having observed the last Passover Seder, eaten his last meal, drank his last wine, after giving the bread and the wine new meaning about himself and his greater redemption, after praying in the garden and having been disappointed by his disciples, betrayed by one of his disciples, and abandoned by the rest, after being arrested and tried before Jewish leaders and condemned to death for speaking the truth that he is the Messiah and the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of God, after being beaten and humiliated by them, after being tried by the Roman governor and sentenced to death, after being whipped and beaten and mocked by Roman soldiers, after being nailed to a cross, after being insulted by people near the cross, including Jewish leaders and those being crucified with him, Yeshua died. He truly died. And he was buried on the first day of Passover. It was also the day before the Sabbath. Some of the women who followed Yeshua had seen exactly where the body of Yeshua had been buried. Mark continues chapter 16 by telling us that when the Sabbath was over and they were able to work and engage in normal activities, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Yeshua's body. This is an expression of great love and devotion. Even if Yeshua had been rejected by the leaders of Israel and the leaders of Rome, had been mocked, spit upon, humiliated, beaten, whipped, crucified, these loyal women still loved and appreciated the young rabbi, even in death. A great expression of love and devotion. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who is worthy of our expressions of love and devotion. The love and devotion of these women will cause them to encounter a supernatural being, an angel, which is a very blessed thing. And it will cause them to be among the first human beings to find out about one of the greatest events in history. What a singular honor. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who responds to our love and devotion by blessing us and honoring us. as he did these women. Their love and devotion is further seen by them rising very early after the Sabbath was over to anoint Yeshua's body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? On the way to the tomb, these women realized the stone was too heavy for them to move, and they would need help in order to move it. But when they got to the tomb, they discovered the stone had already been moved. And something had happened that radically changed the situation so that Yeshua's body no longer needed anointing. That something is one of the very greatest and most significant events in the history of the world. Mark tells us, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, white being the color of purity, holiness, righteousness. This is one of the good, holy angels. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. Well, that's unusual. Yeshua's body was gone, and a stranger dressed in white was sitting there. And they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Yeshua the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who was crucified, who truly died, who was buried, and whose body was no longer in that tomb because he had risen. Yeshua is the only human being who has ever lived, who died, was buried, and who has risen, who has come back to life in this unique way, risen and transformed into a glorious state, never to die again. Yeshua is someone who, after his resurrection, was seen by angels, testified to by angels, served by angels. Yeshua is someone who sent eyewitnesses to his disciples telling them about his resurrection. Yeshua is a true prophet who predicted that he would die, that he would come back to life, and that he would meet his disciples after his death and resurrection in the north in Galilee, which he did, spending time with them, teaching them, preparing them to take over his mission of world evangelism and take over the leadership of his community. He is a true prophet who predicted these things. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who had this angel say to these women, go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Peter, who had denied Yeshua three times, is singled out for inclusion in these future plans of Messiah, which tells us that Yeshua is someone who was able to forgive and restore someone like Peter who sinned a great sin of abandoning his Messiah and denying him. Mark gives us the reaction of the women to the empty tomb and the presence and the pronouncement of the angel, trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And you probably would have been afraid too. The earliest manuscripts that we have of the book of Mark, along with some ancient witnesses, end the book of Mark right here, which makes it a very abrupt ending. While verses 9 through 20 may have been added by others and therefore may not have the same level of inspiration and authority as the rest of the book of Mark, nevertheless, they're true. And they are worth our consideration. So let's continue with verses 9 through 20. When Yeshua rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. That's interesting. Women were not considered to be reliable witnesses. So the fact that this history includes the detail that Yeshua first appeared to a woman actually makes this account even more believable. Why do I say that? This is not a detail that someone would make up. If you were concocting a story to create a new religion, you would come up with an unimpeachable witness as the first witness to the resurrection, which is the highlight of your story. You would not come up with a story that had a woman who had seven demons as your first witness to the resurrection. You just would not do that. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Yeshua was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. While the rest of the nation of Israel was celebrating Passover and was no doubt very happy, the disciples were mourning, weeping, crying, grieving, terribly upset. This was the worst Passover of their lives. A Passover on which their beloved Messiah was betrayed by one of them, abandoned by all of them, arrested, tried, tortured, crucified. This was the worst Passover of their lives. And in spite of Yeshua's repeated teachings that he would die and come back to life, they still were not able to believe that he had, even after receiving this eyewitness testimony. This unflattering detail about the lack of faith of the disciples also shows that this story was not made up. This is not a detail that would be included if this story had been invented. To make the story easier to sell, you would want to show that the leaders of the new religion were men of great faith and insight, not men of little faith. The disciples were mourning and weeping because they believed Yeshua was dead and that they had failed him. When they finally realize he's alive, their mourning and weeping turns into an amazing joy that will be with them for the rest of their lives. A joy that will sustain them throughout great hardships. May we and all of our brothers and sisters around the world be filled with that same joy, knowing that Yeshua is alive. Amen. Afterward, Yeshua appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. No doubt a reference to the two on the road to Emmaus. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who has a standard post-resurrection appearance, a post-resurrection form, but he can, if he chooses to appear in a different form, like he did here. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. The disciples were still not able to believe Yeshua had been resurrected, even after being told by Yeshua repeatedly that he would be, even after receiving eyewitness testimony from two more. And this is another unflattering detail. Again, this is not a detail that would be included if the story had been concocted, which tells us that this account is absolutely true. If the 11 were here and able to speak to us today, I'm sure they would say something like this. Brothers and sisters, we were so foolish back then. We had so little faith. In spite of what the Son of God said to us repeatedly, and in spite of the prophecies in the Word of God about the resurrection of the Messiah, prophecies that we should have known and understood, and in spite of eyewitness testimony, please don't be like us. Believe every word Yeshua says, even if it seems unlikely or impossible. Know and believe every word of the prophets. Finally, after these eyewitnesses were sent to them and their testimony rejected, the resurrected Lord himself appears to them. Later, Yeshua appeared to the 11 as they were eating. So who is Yeshua? Someone who graciously appeared to the 11, forever ending their doubts. Yeshua is the only human being who's ever lived in this world who has died, been buried, resurrected, and transformed, never to die again. Yeshua's resurrection is one of the very greatest events in the history of the world. Yeshua's resurrection is one of the most important, most significant events in the history of the world. Yeshua's resurrection is God's seal of approval on everything Yeshua did and taught, because God would not allow a sinner, a liar, a false prophet, a false Messiah to be resurrected. Yeshua's resurrection, therefore, validates him, his life, his ministry, his miracles, his teachings. Yeshua's resurrection is God's declaration to the world that Yeshua is flawless, blameless, sinless, perfect. Yeshua's resurrection lets the world know that every word Yeshua spoke, every teaching he gave, every promise he made is true, accurate, reliable, trustworthy. Since Yeshua only and always spoke the truth, this means that when Yeshua claimed to be the King of the Jews, guess what? He's the King of the Jews. When he claimed to be the Messiah, he is the Messiah. When he claimed to be the Son of the Blessed One, he is the eternal Son of God. When he claimed to be the only one who can save us, he is the only one who can save us. Yeshua's resurrection makes him unique, special, one of a kind. It puts him and his teachings on a level far higher than any of the prophets of Israel, even great ones like Moses, or the leaders of any other religion. Buddha, Muhammad, Darwin, Marx, Lenin, Freud, Einstein are dead and buried. Only Yeshua is alive. Yeshua's resurrection sets Christianity apart from all other religions, philosophies, ideologies. Yeshua's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. When we are joined to Yeshua because of our faith in him, when we are united to him because we have transferred our loyalties to him, his resurrection becomes our resurrection because we're joined to him and we're part of him. His life becomes our life. His eternal life becomes our eternal life. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Yeshua's resurrection guarantees our resurrection because by living a perfect life, dying as our substitute on the cross, rising from the dead, Satan and the fallen angels are able to be defeated, sin is able to be forgiven, the sin nature is able to be conquered, death and hell can be overcome, eternal life can be offered. Yeshua's resurrection is the basis of our hope, our sureness that we will be resurrected and live forever. And it also gives us a new kind of power now. Power to overcome our old nature. Power to live the way we should. Serve God the way we should, witness the way we should. Yeshua appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Yeshua is someone who loved his disciples enough to correct them, rebuke them. Yeshua is someone who loves us enough to correct us and rebuke us. And he will. Through our conscience, through our exposure to the Word of God, through other people, through our failures, and sometimes even through our successes. Yeshua is someone who rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe reliable eyewitnesses who testified about his resurrection. And I'm telling you that like the 11, we have many reliable eyewitnesses about Yeshua's resurrection. We have the testimony of the eyewitnesses recorded for us, written down for us, in the divinely inspired and true writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, and others. Yeshua is someone who is very gracious and merciful. He forgave his disciples for abandoning him in his greatest time of need. He specifically forgave Peter for abandoning him and denying him. And Yeshua is still gracious and merciful. When we fail him, which regrettably we do all too often, but we must, with remorse and repentance, return to him, as did Peter and the others. Yeshua is someone who wanted his disciples to have faith in him, loyalty in him, confidence in him, which they did from that day until they died. And Yeshua is someone who wants us to have that same kind of faith, trust, and loyalty. And we can. By knowing him, getting close to him, staying close to him, by constant exposure to the Word of God, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, by prayer, and practicing the other spiritual disciplines. Yeshua is someone who turned their mourning into joy, their fear into fearlessness. And Yeshua is someone who can still transform people from sadness to joy, from fear to fearlessness when we know he is alive. Our living Lord, our living Savior, our living Redeemer. Yeshua rebuked them. He forgave them. And then he gave them some very important instructions. Instructions that apply not just to the 11, but to each one of us as well. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who is still concerned about the salvation of the world. He is someone who alone has the true message of salvation, the good news, the gospel. He is someone who wants his mission of bringing salvation to the world to continue through his people. He is someone who wants us to be concerned about and participating in world evangelism. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. He is someone who wants us to be aggressive in our proclamation of the good news. He's someone who wants us to take the initiative and go and proclaim, not wait for people to come to us and ask. He is someone who wants us to tell all creation, everyone we possibly can, about him and how he can save us. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes, which means who understands who Yeshua is, that he's alive, the Savior, whoever believes by transferring his loyalties to Yeshua, whoever believes and is baptized, he shows he believes by undergoing the initiation ceremony into Messiah's community, with immersion being the preferred method. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Saved from joining the rebellion of Satan and the fallen angels. Saved from the terrible consequences of the fall, saved from sin and having a fallen nature, saved from death, saved from hell, saved to live forever. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Being condemned is our default position. The sentence has already been given. The Lord said, in the day you eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dying you will die. You will surely die. That's our default position. Humanity has already been condemned. condemned to die. To die the first death, physical death, followed by dying the even worse second death, which is being sent to Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire, where you die. The moment we sinned and joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, we were condemned, all of humanity. To remain condemned, all we need to do is nothing. To avoid condemnation, we must do something. We must believe. Know who Yeshua is, transfer our loyalties to Him. Believe and be saved. Do not believe, just do nothing and be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And these signs, to varying degrees, have accompanied the followers of Messiah, especially at the beginning, indicating that they were close to God, empowered by God, and their message was true and should be believed. After the Lord Yeshua had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of God. Who is Yeshua? He is the Lord. He is the Lord Yeshua. Adonai, with a capital A. He is the same Lord who was in the beginning. He is the Lord who is in control of all people, all angels, all forces, all things. He is the Lord Yeshua. He is someone you must end your rebellion against and make your Lord before you leave this world, or you will suffer His rejection, something you really do not want to experience. Yeshua is someone who completed His great rescue mission successfully and then returned home to heaven. He ascended to heaven from where He came. And Yeshua is someone who will bring us to heaven, which will be our home if we end our rebellion against Him and His Father and make Him our Lord. Yeshua is the King of heaven, the Son of the High King of heaven, who is alive right now in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, ruling the universe and the ages to come with God the Father. Yeshua is someone worthy of the highest honors and greatest respect. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. These Messianic Jewish men turn their world upside down. And we are to do the same thing. Go out and proclaim the good news about the risen Lord to everyone, everywhere, with as much power as God will give us. So, who is Yeshua according to this last chapter of this divinely inspired book of John? He is someone who is worthy of our expressions of love and devotion and who responds to our love and devotion by blessing us and honoring us. How cool is that? He is the only human being who died and was buried and who came back to life, transformed into a glorious state, never to die again. He is a true prophet who predicted He would die, come back to life, and meet His disciples in the north, which He did. He is someone who, after His resurrection, was seen by angels, testified to by angels, and served by angels. He is someone who sent eyewitnesses to his disciples, telling them about his resurrection. He is someone who graciously appeared to the 11, forever ending their doubts. He is someone whose resurrection communicates to us and to the world that he is faithful and true, flawless, blameless, sinless, perfect. Since God would not allow a sinner, a liar, a false prophet, a false Messiah to be resurrected. He is someone who wants his disciples to have faith in him, loyalty to him, confidence in him. And we can, by knowing who he is, getting close to him, staying close to him, by practicing the spiritual disciplines. Yeshua is someone whose words are absolutely true, reliable, faithful, and must be believed. He is someone who is gracious and merciful and loves us enough to rebuke us and correct us, which he will, through our conscience, exposure to the Word of God, other people, through our failures, maybe even our successes. We need to humble ourselves and be open to his correction. Yeshua is someone who can still transform people from sadness to joy, from fear to fearlessness, when we know who he is. Yeshua is someone who is still very much concerned and focused on the salvation of the world. He is someone who alone has the true message of salvation. He is someone who wants his mission of bringing salvation to the world to continue through his people. He is someone who wants us to take the initiative and go and proclaim, not wait for people to come to us and ask. He is someone who wants us to tell all creation, everyone we can, about him and how he can rescue us. He is someone who can give us the power we need to accomplish our task. He's the King of heaven and the Son of the High King of heaven, who is in heaven right now at the right hand of God the Father, ruling the universe and the ages to come with God the Father. Someone worthy of the highest honors and greatest respect. Someone who will bring us to heaven, which will be our home when we end our rebellion against him and his Father. He is the Lord in control of all peoples, all angels, all forces, all things. He is someone we must make our Lord before we leave this world. May Yeshua be all these things to us, and may we respond faithfully to all he is and become all that we should be. Amen.